Morning, everyone. It is Pentecost Sunday. We celebrate that representation of what that was like on that day in Acts chapter 2. We're grateful for what God was doing then and what God is still doing now. And we're blessed to have Connor with us, leading us in worship today. Whether you want to sit, stand, however, we're going to worship the Lord today.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my soul till I met you. I was breathing, but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my soul till I met you. So you called my name. You called my name. And I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
So now your mercy.
Now your mercy has saved my soul. And your freedom is all that I know. Citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call my name, come on, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for even the time, God, when you ran out of the grave, God, into this glorious day. Father, this is the day that you have given to us, a day that we can celebrate your grace and goodness. What a beautiful day, God. What an opportunity to gather in your name. Father, we pray your blessings now upon this service. We ask it in your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for a few moments. All right. What's going on? Cleanup day. Whew. We got a big long list. Lots of aggressive list. We got some of it done. Not as much as we wanted to, but whew. I wanted to get the flower beds all cleaned up there. We got the garden all done, and we patched a few holes and painted and fixed, but the list was longer than what we had time to finish. So we were grateful, but what a thank you. Thank you to those who cleaned, swept, organized. We got some stuff done, but there's still more. So if you're anxious, I still have the list in my office. If you can find like this time that you don't have anything going on and you want to come over to the church, I'll hand you the list and you can carry on from there. Somebody with some rig strong muscles, I couldn't do it. I tried and heaved for about 2 hours to try to get those roots out of the flower bed, so I'm going to have to work at it a little bit longer. My strength is not what it used to be, so that's it. Wednesday night, Bible study, we're doing baked potato bar. Am I correct?
Yep.
All right. Well, Gene, who is not feeling well, has the list, but we got all the fixings. We're going to have everything with the baked potatoes. Good healthy food. All vegetable, baked potato, and you're going to have all the toppings to go with it. So come prepared. We'll pick up the baked potatoes. And then we're going to come in and try to stay awake in the sanctuary as we hit Jonah chapter 4. Well, we had a good discussion last week, so it was great. But that's coming up. We're coming close to Jonah. Nice little book, and we had some great time there. But what's next on the list? Under the Tent, Memorial Weekend, next Saturday the 25th and Monday the 27th, we'll be at Hope Crossing. There's some events going on there. Yours truly, I'll be over cooking hot dogs. On Monday, yes, we're going to have, there's 500 bottles of water, 500 bags of chips, 500 hot dogs. So if you want some hot dogs, come early. There'll be a parade that goes right by Hope Crossing, and we'll be there for that, and I'll be helping to cook, so join us if you can. Let's see. VBS. Beth has an updated list. We got it yesterday. She has an aggressive list of things that they need for VBS. So if you'd like to see her, please. We're looking for like handbells, and she's got the whole list. Yep. So please see her. That is being taken care of for Evanswood Church. They're doing VBS there, and all the sister churches are gathering, 5 churches. So we're going to be doing VBS there, and we're celebrating by helping out there. All right, what's else? BethanyChurchOfGod.org. I love the fact that in the website, some of you, if you've had a chance to look at it, the 8 podcasts that I did for school are on there. I know Maria's already gotten a chance. Have you gotten past 2 or no? So you can give us your professional opinion if they're good, bad, or indifferent. But we enjoyed the time. But also in there is an opportunity for prayer requests. And I have to tell you, almost every couple of weeks I get a prayer request. And I had one come in Saturday from a gentleman who was looking for prayer for his family, for salvation, for home, and for health. And so I'm just thankful God is using this. We're getting requests that come in. People are participating on the website and sending us information. So it really is a blessing. And we're finding that through our PayPal site, God is really blessing the church. We're on a regular basis every week. We seem to, we're averaging probably, I'm going to guess, probably $600 to $700 a week on the PayPal through the website. So it's keeping the church alive and active, and we're blessed by what God is doing. But if you get a chance, give us a thumbs up. We'd like to have that Google stats that say we're doing well, but take a look at it. Jim Grant has done a wonderful job with it, and I don't want to belabor that thought, but take a look at it. He keeps us fresh and active. It's not something I have the time to do, and I'm grateful for the work that he's doing, because Beth and I look at it every week. We kind of go on there and see all the new stuff, and he's constantly changing the colors, keeping it active for us, and all the information is there. So that's up to date. Don't forget, food pantry in the back. We helped with that a little bit. That's there. Food in the back. I know that everybody enjoys the donuts and coffee, and so enjoy that time, but we're going to bless the Lord. Some of these songs on the next part, you may not know, like the first one, but some of us know them. If not, sit, stand, however you're comfortable, just worship the Lord.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
It's your breath.
Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord.
Thank you. Yeah.
This is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would He fail now? He won't. He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. And He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would He fail? My faith in Jesus.
Continue to keep Charlotte, Lily, and Suzanne, Jean, who is at home sick. Roxanne was on her way this morning and is not feeling well. She went back home. There's a multitude of people who are not feeling well. Also, keep the Greer family in our prayers, as in a couple of weeks from now, we'll be celebrating a small memorial service for the loss of Jeannie here at the church. June 1st, it's just a private memorial, so that's the reason I haven't made the announcement. Jim only wants to keep it a few close family people. We'll be gathering here to celebrate Jeannie's life. She's been gone about a year now, but they finally have gathered together and had a time. So please keep the Greer family in your prayers. Multitude of needs in the church, they're listed there. But we want to just ask God, because He doesn't fail, right? It's the beauty of it. So let's go together in prayer, if you will. Oh, Father God, we know that we stand, God, on the solid rock. We know that You are, God, our anchor in the time of a storm. God, we pray for the people in Houston, God, who have experienced tragedy in the storms. Father, it seems at times we're riddled with information, God. Times of things, times of storms, rumors, God, all kinds of things. God, we pray right now that in this time of prayer, God, You will touch the needs of Your people. God, no matter what we face, school is coming to a close for this year, God. Students will be out. God, I even read in the papers on a regular basis, another young man got bullied, his life is gone. Father, I pray for the parents. I pray for families today, God, that it's challenging enough to deal with circumstances around us and yet to lose a little one like that. I can't even imagine, God, but I know that You know. You know the needs of Your people. You know the needs of the church. And I continue to pray, God, for Your mercy and Your grace. God, I know that You don't fail us and Your hand is alive and active. Father, I continue to pray. You'll bless the church. Bless the work that we do and bless the efforts, Father. I continue to pray for Charlotte and Louie and Suzanne, for Your grace to be upon them. I pray for Jean, who is not feeling well today, for Father, for just Your mercy. For Roxanne, who has gone home not feeling well. For those that, God, are experiencing all kinds of things today, Father, have Your way. Father, for Greg, who has sent in a prayer request, for Father, for salvation, for healing, for hope in his family, I pray, God, that You'll provide him a church where he may be blessed. Father, a church where Your name is glorified, a church where the power of Your hand is at work. Father, there's many who are away today. You know the reasons, God. You know many are out celebrating, doing, taking care of things, getting things done when they need to be done. Some are working. Some are out celebrating. Some are on vacation. Father, You know where we're at. You know what's going on in our life. We thank You, God, that Connor has been with us this morning, celebrating the Word of God through song. Thank You for allowing him to come and lead us in worship. Thank You for the message of the songs. And Father, I pray that through worship, we've been able to experience You, God, for Your failing love, Your unfailing love, God, to us as a wonderful generation. Thank You, God, that we stand on the solid rock. Father, I pray that today will be a day in which we worship You. God, I pray for all of the things and the events, whether some are out watching the game and watching our glorious Tigers. Maybe they'll win again today, God. But we pray Your blessings on the activities and things that we do. We pray, God, that You'll give us strength and mercy. Bless Your churches around us, Father. Let Your name be glorified. Let the power of Your name be witnessed in those that experience You, God. And Father, for those that need a peace, let there be peace, Father, in the midst of all things. Let Your voice speak to us. Father, let Your presence be with us. Even as some, Father, have experienced a loss. Some experienced the celebration of a birthday. Father, we thank You for that. And we thank You for their grace and another year. But Father, for those that experience a loss, Father, love them. Love them. Father, continue to bless Brent, my brother, God, at Hope Crossing. Bless Mark at Evanswood. Bless Tom at Chippewa Valley. Bless our sister churches, Father, that Your name may be glorified, that we may celebrate a risen Lord. Bless us today, Father, that Your word will go forth in power, in strength, and in love. Father, unite us together. Father, whether we're in Kenya or whether we're in Detroit, Father, let Your word go forth in power. We'll thank You, God, for Your love and Your grace. For we truly pray all of this in the power of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, let's get another one here, because I'm not going to fight for that. Either I'm too weak from yesterday or what. Maybe I'm just too weak, period. So we're not going to fight with that one. That's not going to work. We'll go with an easy one. It was just stuck. That's what it was. Huh? I didn't mess with it either, but I'm not going to mess with it now either. All right. We're looking at a wonderful passage in the book of Romans. A beautiful story. But boy, a big thank you to those that could make it yesterday. I realized when I woke up this morning that this passage had some merit to it. In the groaning, as I reached to turn out of bed and realize, wait a minute, I didn't remember that muscle hurting yesterday. I didn't remember that foot feeling that way. But I got up this morning realizing, oh boy. Paul deals with a subject, and I've wrestled back and forth this week whether I called it, one point I had it groaning, the next point I had it growing. And my wife was like, what are you going to do? Make up your mind. So I left it back to groaning, but it could be either way, groaning or growing. When our youngest son, Samuel, was about 11 years old, 12 maybe, somewhere between the age of 11 and 14, Beth had to take him to the doctor because Samuel was experiencing all kinds of pains. His hips, his legs, his knees. We wondered if there was something wrong with him. We said, this can't be normal for a teenager to have this much pain. And yet, to much of our surprise, guess what? It was normal. Samuel was going through some extreme growth spurts. And his body was reacting. Did I just go silent for a second? No. His body was reacting to enormous growth spurts. He's actually a little bit taller than me now. He's much taller than his mom. But there's not many who are much shorter than his mom. Ooh, and the crowd goes. Not yet. They're growing pretty quick. But he was experiencing a lot of growth pains. They said that was common because his body was growing faster than what his joints and stuff could keep up with. And I began to think about this text. Are we experiencing similar groaning and growth in the church? We're in a time, it's very strange. Let's be honest. Years ago, before Christendom, prior to Christendom, the church spent a great deal of effort Evangelism, missionary work was huge. As we grew up early in the church, there was a lot of effort placed on evangelism and outreach and missionary work. Missionaries used to come to the church, and we spent a great deal of effort centered around, because the thought was originally, you come to church, you hear the message, you accept Christ, and the church grows as a result of it. And church was the center of focus. But post-Christendom now, many say they believe in God, but they don't attend church. We find that there's a slow progression. Even with post-COVID, there's this resurgence of individuals who believe in God, but don't attend church. And the church is groaning and struggling. How do we meet that? And furthermore, when you go out into the work environment or outside of the church, there's a lot who say, I'm a Christian, but I don't attend church. I believe in God, but I don't believe in organized Christianity. Come on, you know, we hear that often. And then you wonder, how do I minister to these people? How does the church grow as a result of that? How do we expand the gospel? And how do we reach the lost for Jesus Christ? And here Paul experiences a groaning. He's sensitive to the church, but they're groaning for Christ to return. I wrestled with this and wondered, what was the scripture really trying to teach us? So let's look at that. Romans chapter 8, verse 22, and I'm only going to pick up a few verses. This is found in your large print Bibles under your chairs, page 1757. It will actually be on the screen. And if you were able to, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Whether you got your smartphones or your Bibles, let's read together, because the importance of reading Scripture is huge. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the spirits groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes, Himself intercedes for us through the wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. May God add a blessing to the reading. You may be seated. As Paul wrestled with this, the groaning as in childbirth, I found it very interesting that Paul paints a picture for us. You have this groaning as in childbirth, and then he begins to talk about this adoption and the redemption. I often wondered, what was Paul trying to hint at? Have we given birth to the church? And have we left the church aside? Nobody gives birth to a child. Well, they might today. But in my understanding, it's very uncommon for someone to give birth to a child and then discard the child. But we see that today. It happens more than what we want to admit. But Paul gives this image to us of this birthing, this growth, this birthing of a child, and yet there is redemption and adoption later on. And Paul gives us a sense that the church is groaning or growing and struggling with this whole present idea. And then he hints that the Spirit bears witness with us, that we become joint heirs with Christ, and we are confident that the things that we go through in this present day are worth all of it for the glory of God. Now he hints in chapter 8 at the beginning about our life through Christ and that we go through all kinds of present trials and tribulations. And it's all of that is nothing compared to what would be revealed to us later. And Paul talks about this suffering, but he speaks in general terms. But Paul hints that the whole creation has experienced a longing to be revealed as the body of Christ. And in this word, he says this groaning together is substantiae, which means labor pains. And then he talks a little bit, he changes it from labor pains to stanzomen, inwardly while we wait for adoption. So not only are we seeing it through labor pains, but we see it through the adoption. But Paul really hints about a groaning and a growing process. Well, notwithstanding, I believe that growth can sometimes be painful. You know, how many of us really understand the principle of growth and groaning? Growing and growth can be painful. It can be challenging. It can be difficult. Our bodies, the world around us, this groaning's been going on since the creation of the world. The futility of mankind, the disappointment of things that have happened, this envelope of our spirit, since the beginning of time, there has been this challenge. How can we relate to growth pains and the groaning pains of life and the challenges of opportunity? Well, growth can sometimes be painful. My wife will remind me that some of the flowers that she has in her sunroom have to be pruned. I have them in my office. I don't like touching them. I just want them to grow, keep growing. But pretty soon they grow out the pot that they're in. I've got some in my office at work. If you've seen them, they're all over the place. And they just continue to grow. And I'll pick off the dead leaves, throw them away, and let it continue to grow because I don't want to hamper it. You know, if something's growing, I want it to keep growing. She reminds me at times that sometimes you have to pick off the little sucker plants. You have to prune it back. You have to regrow it. And I have my own little red Dixie cup on my desk, and occasionally I'll pick off some of them and they'll regrow, and somebody will come along and grab my whole cup and I'll put another cup out there. We'll continue this process and bless others. But growth is that way, is it not? That in times we have to take off and we have to allow God to regrow it, and it grows new roots and then it plants for someone else and it blesses someone else in their life. But growth is not an easy subject for us. Paul talks about the believers and their new life in Christ and how they're solidly founded on God's promises. And you know, we want to think that we have a good fundamental core here at church. We're talking good, solid teachings. But that is not the case everywhere. I'd like to believe that I love to expound on the Word of God. And boy, I went home last week thinking, I got some work to do here with my wife and what she did last week. She was pretty on target. And I'm thinking, wow, I got some growth to live up to. But I went back and said, no, God, that's her message. I'll continue on the way that I am. But we groan for the church, right? Let's be honest. We groan because we think, wow, we got about 125 seats in here. Why is the church not growing? And we groan for the church to grow. We want it to survive. We want it to be successful. And we want the ministry to continue on. And there's concern, and I have to be honest with you, there's some real concern, not in Bethany, but there's real concern in the church in general. The large churches are very large, and they continue to grow and reach out, and I'm thankful for the church and that's just opened up a new laundromat up in Flint, and a good church there, and they're doing great. Benton Harbor just opened up a new laundromat for the church up there, and they have a workshop, and the St. Joe Church has several thousand members and multi-campuses, and they're growing, and many of the bigger churches continue to grow, but the smaller churches struggle, and they groan with how do we meet the needs around us, and how do we grow, and growth is painful, folks. It's discomforting to what we know, because many of you, if you've been in the church a while, know that the church existed. People came to church, they listened to worship, and they grew, and they invited other people, and that's not the case today, is it? We suffer through this journey, and Paul talks about this entire universe is held and eagerly longs for that day. And I've been reading this book, Prodigal Christianity, and just some new concepts about the signposts. You know, I love signposts, and I love this whole idea of growth, but It's a struggle. Let's be honest. Growing the church isn't easy. It's not something that just happens by osmosis. You just can't put the book on the top of your head and God just miraculously tells you everything in it. Growing and growth is challenging. It takes work. It takes diligence. It's sometimes painful because sometimes God prunes off people. I've been here long enough. I can see that evident. The people that I love dearly who have gone home to be with the Lord, the people that used to be very active in the church are no longer with us. And some that were here have left and gone on to other churches. We don't like that fact, do we? It's difficult for us. And Paul is trying to say this work of redemption, this whole face of the church is challenging when it comes to growth and direction. Paul senses that, and this word, sustanzomai, this whole idea of groaning through it. You know, it's not a complaining, but sometimes it's like, there's got to be something more. God promises the church here a beautiful future, and he says, hey, there's going to come this time to where he's going to return, but we still, in eager acceptance, we groan. With growth comes a longing. While our vital experience of the church is often an intimate connection with God, we long to grow. We long to belong. We want to know the crucified Christ and to tell others about the growth and to understand the power, to grasp how wide and how deep the love of God is. This whole idea of growing and new birth and salvation in the present life, the groaning of humanity and all that is encompassed here. This noun form of this groaning is said to bring about the incarnation of Jesus Christ, to culminate this whole idea of hope and suffering. With growth comes a longing. And I must be honest with you, we've been struggling with this whole idea of the mission of God. We call it the Missio Dei. We know, Scripture tells us, in Acts chapter 1, that God said, wait here, that you'll receive power. We know that in Matthew 28, we're told to go therefore and to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know that we've been called to go. We know that the mission is outside of these four walls. And we know that God is doing a great work outside of the work. But how do we do it? We groan as to the methods and the process and the steps. And how do we adopt others as sons and daughters? And how do we bring growth about? How does it happen? And we're really struggling as to what is the message. Do we just jump in there and bring our Bibles to work and tell everybody about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we witnessing to every person we see? Because there are many who will go, I don't want to hear it. There are many who you talk to will be like, don't talk to me about God. We have a story in Prodigal Christianity of Dave, who works at a Starbucks. And I shared this on a Wednesday night. Dave was in his work, and he had another one of his co-workers, a young lady. They sat down together. She began to unload and unpack, began to tell Dave all about her desires to commit suicide, and how she's been in a messed up family, and how things have not gone her way, and she's struggling with this whole idea of what to do and where to go, and this longing to find something real and concrete. You know, we live in a world where people want something concrete. Faith isn't easy for many people. This whole idea of wanting something, there's got to be something more. And we want to just open right up and tell them all about the love of Christ, but they don't want to hear it. There's this desire that says, even with Dave's friend at Starbucks, he wanted to just reach out and tell her all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God would fix all of her problems if she would just turn her life over to Christ. And God would make all the things that were wrong right in her life. But it doesn't happen that way, does it? It doesn't just magically flip a switch and God goes, you're miraculously changed from what you were to what you are now. And God does that internally, but our circumstances around us doesn't show the evidence. It takes time. Are you with me, folks? The baggage that we carry doesn't just miraculously fall off of our shoulders when we move on. Christ does change us internally and does give us a hope and a new future. But there are many out there who don't want to hear that. And there comes this longing. God, what have you called me for? Where am I to go? And then, not only this longing, growth can bring adoption and redemption. How many of us can really say that there's been a point in our time where we've really missed the mark? We've missed the road signs, lost our way, made the wrong turn, missed the road closures up ahead, didn't catch the reduction in the lanes, didn't listen to Sirius or Google Maps, and found that we are now in uncharted territories. Come on. I'm a guy, I can tell you, very specifically, I don't like maps, I don't really like Sirius, and I don't like Google. I use them, but when I'm driving, I know where I'm going. She looks at me like, don't you want a map? Nope, I know where I'm going. I know how to get there. Come on. Some of you are that way. Some of you are saying, I'm not putting that in my maps. I know how to get there. And then all of a sudden the road closes. And the way that you normally took to get there is not the same way anymore. Come on. I might be talking to you in foreign language because it is Pentecost Sunday. I might be speaking another language that you don't understand. But let me just say, for example, there have been times when the roads close and you have to take a detour. Come on, church. We're in a time to where we have to take detours. And growth and adoption can be difficult for the church. I think that we might be sometimes on Gilligan's Island. You guys remember the story? Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale. A tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port in Detroit aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailor woman, not a man. The skipper, brave and sure. And passengers set sail that day for a 300-year tour. Are you with me, church? Come on. The weather started getting rough. There was a little bit of a rocky road. That tiny ship was tossed. There was division. There was difficulties. There was passion. There was people. And if not for the courage of the fearless crew, the church would be lost. Are you with me? Come on. I might be singing a tune that's a little foreign to you and might be a little weird. But the church would be lost. The church came a ship aground on the shore of an uncharted desert isle. With Gilligan, the skipper too, a millionaire and his wife, a movie star, a pastor, Marianne, and here we are on Gilligan's Isle. You find sometimes we're lost on an island. Oh, let's put Bethany up on a hill. It's going to be a light for the community to see. What happened to our light? Our light now is turned into a little pencil light. That beacon that we once dreamed of moving from Detroit to another place on Warren and moving out to the suburbs. And we're going to chart into the school and we're going to make big grounds in Sterling Heights. And the church was doing well. But what happened? Did we settle on this little island? Did our church slide down the hill and drop into the valley? Now, I know I'm singing something silly, but do you realize that sometimes we hit a wrong turn? We have to chart a course in a different direction. But I don't want to, Pastor. I like it the way it was. Church, be the way it was, because the church is not the way it was. Why can't I be 25 and pull out the bushes like I used to? Why now do I have to cook a table to it? And I huffed and puffed and tried to blow that little bush out and it didn't move. I grabbed a big stick. I grabbed a big, long pry bar. I couldn't get them out. Why is it that way? Sometimes you have to find a different direction. Sometimes you got to use other sources. We're not on an island. We can't do this by ourselves. And there are times where the church groans for what is the direction. What should we be doing? We talk about it here in church. We tell everybody growth and adoption happens outside of these four walls. But humanity groans. God, there's got to be more. Well, the truth of the matter is, God, If they knew what we knew and they knew what was going on at Bethany, they'd want to come. Sure they do. We're doing a great work. Please don't misunderstand that. We've got a great website. We reach a lot of people. There are people who watch on Sunday morning. We're reaching people's lives, but they're not coming into the church like they used to. We struggle with the growth and adoption. These are challenging words we may not want to hear. But Paul gives us this picture of childbirth, yet we think, did God just reject us and dump us on a far foreign island? Are we left without a parent? Has sin overwhelmed us? We want to tell others about this Jesus, but they're not willing to listen to us. We want to love them, but they don't want to be loved. We want to be their friend, but they don't want us as a friend. When God opens the doors, we want to give them the word. We want to tell them all about our Jesus. We want to walk them through Romans Road. And Romans chapter 10, verse 8 and 9 says, if you trust in God and you believe with all your heart, you can accept Him. He's going to accept you. And if we confess, He's faithful. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we've got all of these answers. And then they go, tuck to the left because you're not right. And we live in a world where growth and adoption is truly something we want. But finally, growing pains. This final section tells us, as we close this, in the same way, Spirit helps in our weaknesses. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. In other words, God has made active in our life this opportunity, that Spirit that lives in us, it groans. It doesn't have to have words. Our spirit says there's more. We don't have to tell anybody else about it, but there's this longing for more. More of God's Word. More of the activity of the Holy Spirit. More of His presence. More of knowing about Him more. More than what we have in this current life. And we know there's going to be a future in God, but right now, God, we're groaning, and our growth is painful. But here He says, and He who searches our hearts, listen to what Paul says in this little section, this little pericope, and He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. And what Paul tells us is truly that there is a union in prayer and spirit. In the language we cannot understand, the Father searches the human heart, the abode of the Spirit, to hear the Spirit's prayer. When the Father hears His will being prayed for, then all things will happen. Then the Father and the Spirit are in perfect harmony for the purposes of God to accomplish through the life of the believer. This comes through Grudenier and Brodmann in their text and the understanding and the concordance. But I love that idea, the language searching the heart. There is perfect harmony. Unity in direction, unity in our spirit, groaning pains leads us to redemption and the presence of God. Where is God growing your life? Where is God groaning inside of you? What is God calling you to do? Growing pains and groaning pains are not easy. But if there's unity, God will lead. What we found in our book and what we're reading about is that God opens the doors. We haven't changed the message of the incarnation. We haven't changed the authority of scriptures. We haven't changed who Jesus is. What God is changing is how we are walking and delivering the message. Growing pains are not easy. Groaning, yeah, we groan for God's love and His grace and more about Him. Father, we just thank You so much for Paul's words. We thank You for the challenges, God, that Scripture brings to us. Have we reached a spot, Lord God, to where You've called us to take a different direction? Have we met a detour, God, and don't know the path ahead? Is the territory looking unfamiliar? Have the road signs led us in a direction that we're unfamiliar with? God, I pray that Your Spirit will speak to us, that You will give us peace, God, in the midst of this direction. That You will walk with us You'll encourage us. And when we groan, Father, and when we talk about growth, God, give us wisdom. Give us hope. Give us the knowledge that, God, You are still with us. You're still walking with us. Bless Your people today, Father, that these growing pains and groaning pains will cause us to step into action. That it will change what we do, where we go, and how we proceed. But, Father, that You will bless us. That You will lead us in the right path. We'll thank You and praise You. In Your holy name I ask it. Amen. Amen.
I search the world, but it couldn't fill me. And there's empty praise and treasures of faith that never enough. But You came along and You put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied, hearing Your love.
Thank You, Lord.
There's nothing better than You. There's nothing better than You, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than You. I'm not afraid to show You my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, You've seen them all, and You still call me friend.
Thank You, Lord.
'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place Your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than You. There's nothing better than You, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than You. Than You, Lord, there's nothing better than You, Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than You. Sing Your turn. You turn mourning to dancing. Turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. Garden. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. Turn seas into highways. You're the only one. better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Gardens, you turn bones into armies, you turn seas into highways, you're the only one who can turn graves. You turn graves into gardens, you turn bones into armies. Turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can.
Father, thank you for what you are able to do. God, we pray that as we groan and grow, Father, that you can do all things. Bless your people today. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome day.